I'm a huge planner, so whenever my wife, Radhi, and I would go on our adventures, I'd meticulously plan out our itineraries and book our accommodations in advance. It's like a yearly tradition that we do. And let me tell you, Booking.com has been my go-to every step of the way. Whether I want to be a simple guy nestled in the countryside or be the stylish and modern guy in the heart of the city, Booking.com never fails to offer a wide range of options that perfectly suit your preferences. And they have everything you need to turn your travel dreams into reality, offering accommodations here in the US. Plus, the ease of booking through the app makes the whole process a breeze. So trust me when I say, when it comes to planning unforgettable getaways, Booking.com is where it's at. Ready to book your next adventure? Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual. Herbs have been a huge part of my wellness journey, thanks to my Indian roots. My mom introduced them to me, and I saw firsthand how they worked wonders for both body and mind. And when it comes to keeping my digestion in check, slippery elm bark and ginger root are my go-tos. Our sponsor, Nature's Way, has over 50 years sourcing these herbs and many more that can promote digestive health. Visit naturesway.com/herbs and use code J10 at checkout for 10% off any herbal supplements through June 30. Terms apply.
And he was like, listen, we love your product. We want to wish you the best of luck, but it's a no. Okay, can you tell me why? He was about 3 feet from me face to face. And he says, do you want me to be honest with you? And I said, yes, please. And he says, I just don't think women will buy makeup from someone who looks like you with your body and your weight.
Wow. Hey everyone, welcome back to On Purpose, the number one health podcast in the world. Thanks to each and every single one of you that come back every week to listen, learn, and grow. Now, one of my favorite things that I get to do on this podcast is introduce you to people that I think have amazing energy, amazing insight, and incredible ideas. And not just that, plans of action, strategies, techniques, and journeys that when they share them with you, you'll be able to follow in their footsteps, you'll be able to feel inspired, and you'll be able to innovate and start living your passion today. And today's guest is going to help us do all of those things. I've known today's guest for just around a year, but I have to tell you that in this year, I've been able to experience her energy through personally spending hours with her, like literally hours. I think when we first met, I spent all of 14 hours with her back and forth on a journey we went on. And then across messages, phone calls, and she's extremely personal, has phenomenal insights for your growth and journey. And today she's here to talk about her incredible book, Believe It. Our guest today is Jamie Kern Lima, founder of IT Cosmetics. And today we're going to talk about how to go from being underestimated to being unstoppable. Now, for those of you who don't know, Jamie's the co-founder of IT Cosmetics, a company that she started with her husband in their living room that has become the largest cosmetic companies in the United States, listen to this, worth over $1.2 billion. As the first female CEO under L'Oreal, she's an outspoken proponent of female leadership and professional empowerment. And if you don't already know her incredible story, you're in for a treat. Jamie, welcome to On Purpose.
Jay, thank you so much. I am so excited to be here. It's such an honor and I can't wait. Thank you.
This is so fun because I feel like I remember the journey when we started talking about your book and we started talking about what you'd accomplished. and the incredible journey you've been on. Now, first of all, I think it's important to say, and I really mean this, even though you're a friend and, you know, we live in a world where we're surrounded by people doing amazing things, it is important to say that what you've done is truly historic. Like, it is historical. It's, we shouldn't underestimate it. We shouldn't just pass it off. We live in a world today where you hear numbers all the time and everyone's like, oh yeah, this company did this and this. What you've done is historic. And I just want to take a moment to recognize that as your friend, as an interviewer today, and for our audience, because you're about, everyone who's listening right now, and when you go out and get the book, you'll read about it. You're hearing about a journey of someone who was the underdog, someone who didn't have all the possibilities and access in the beginning, but someone today who's having such a big impact on people's lives. So Jamie, today we're going to go through the journey in a different order. I want to start with what I saw the other day, because I really want to, you know, give testament to the book. I saw a video on your Instagram the other day where you were unboxing the book with your husband and your daughter. And it was a super emotional moment. Now, you've achieved a lot of things in life. Tell us why the book was so deep and personal and meaningful after everything you've been through.
You know, Jay, I watched my daughter open the book, and the thing that I felt, and my husband started crying, and he never cries, and he was crying. You know, I think this is what it comes down to is, you know, when you Google my story, you see, oh, Denny's waitress becomes billion-dollar entrepreneur, and it seems like such a fairy tale. And after years of having so many women DM me on Instagram saying like, oh, did you get lucky? Or, you know, I wish I had connections like you. I kind of realized that if we don't share the real stories behind the stories, like all the real stuff, then people feel alone in their own rejections or setbacks or, you know, self-doubt or not enoughness. And watching my daughter open the book was kind of my proudest moment, because this is the first time ever that I've ever just like pulled back the curtain and said, here's what really happened. And here's how the first 3 years of constant rejections happened. And here's how I got through them. And here's the things I did wrong, the things I did right. You know, at the end of the day, it's really a story. This book, believe it, is really a story about a girl who went from not believing in herself to believing in herself and not trusting herself, to then learning like how to get still and hear my own intuition and make the decision to trust it, and how to kind of go from doubting I'm enough to knowing I'm enough. And I think that why I got super emotional watching my daughter open it is because I realized, you know, this isn't just my story. It's a story of so many people out there right now on their own journey of like learning how to believe in themselves and trust themselves and know they're enough. And so for me, it's the most meaningful work I've ever done in my life. Cause it's, you know, it's not about me, and it's just, I don't know. I'm honored. I think every one of us, and you are testament to this. Oh my goodness. Every one of us has a story to share that if we're, you know, courageous enough to share, it can really inspire everyone else on their own journey of like stepping into the person they're born to be. So yeah, it was a really emotional moment, and just proud for my daughter to see that. I want her to grow up and not doubt herself the way I did for many, many years, and to, you know, learn to believe in herself too. And I'm just honored to have learned a ton of lessons that I can hopefully share with her and so many other people.
Yeah, I'm glad you're doing that. What I love about this conversation already is everything you're saying is exactly what 99% of our listeners, our community, me a few years ago before I got started, like this is the emotion, that feeling we all had. We doubted ourselves. We were negative about ourselves. We thought that someone else got lucky. We thought someone else just had it handed to them, and so we judged them or we had a different perception. But tell me about a time or the times when you felt you underestimated yourself. Because I think we've all been underestimated by people. And you put up a quote the other day on Twitter that I loved. You said, you might be tempted to underestimate me, but let me save you some time. Don't. And I loved that. I was laughing when I read that, but I know you, and I've spent time with you, and you speak about in the book times where you underestimated and doubted yourself. Tell us about what that really feels like, because I think people forget when they see you today, they'll be like, oh, she's probably been confident her whole life. And I know as your friend and someone that you've been vulnerable with, that's not true. And so I'd love for you to share a bit about that.
Yeah, so many stories, Jay. And this is something I think too, for anyone listening right now who's struggling with self-doubt and who like knows they're made for more, but still doubts themselves anyway. I think it's a lifelong journey for all of us, right? It's something that even to this day, there'll still be days where, you know, maybe a friend I was counting on like didn't show up for me the way I thought they would. And I start, and it hurts my feelings. And then B, I go right back. I'm like, okay, let me get over that. There's so many moments. And I think us learning how to handle those moments and is key to everything. Cause I think self-doubt like kills more dreams than almost anything else. You know, one big moment that stands out to me, and there's so many that I share in the book, because I really want to share how I navigated things the right way and how I did it the wrong way and everything I've learned. But, you know, I remember, a few years, let me tell you a different one. So I knew ever since I was a little girl and sitting in my living room, I would watch Oprah every single day. And I always thought, one day I'm going to grow up and I'm going to interview other people. Like I want to share their stories with the world. I knew I was going to do that my whole life. I just knew. And I was finally working in my dream job in my 20s and 30s and as a news anchor, telling other people's stories. And I thought like, I went through this big season of setback where I got a hereditary skin condition called rosacea and there's no cure for it. And I would be live anchoring the news and I'd hear my earpiece from the producer. There's something on your face. There's something on your face. You know, can you wipe it off? Can you wipe it off? And they were having my back. Like they were great, but I knew there wasn't anything I could wipe off. I knew it was that this bright red, because my skin would get bright red, all bumpy and like sandpaper texture. I knew I couldn't wipe it off. I knew it was the makeup breaking up under the hot lights. And so I went through this season of just trying to find every product out there that, you know, and nothing would work for me. And I thought that I was in this season of setback in my life. And what I'd later learn is our setbacks are often our setups for something that we're supposed to do next on our own calling and our own purpose in life. But at the time I was in this season of self-doubt, where my inner critic was really getting loud and taking over. And there'd be so many times I would be, you know, live on television and I'd be thinking thoughts like, are viewers changing the channel? Am I going to get fired? And I went through this big season of self-doubt. And then I had this, you know, moment one day, this really strong gut feeling where I was like, wait a minute, if I can create a product that actually solves my own problems, I bet you there's so many other people out there that like me their whole life, they've seen these beauty commercials on TV or magazines that show perfect skin. They've never seen anyone that looks like them. And I always aspired to look like those ads. They always kind of made me feel like I wasn't enough deep down inside. But I realized, wait, I've never seen anyone that has a skin challenge. If I can create a product that works for me, I bet it's going to help so many other people. And then I had this wild, crazy, God-sized dream. I was like, what if I just redefine beauty in the whole beauty industry? What if, and I'm sitting there, right, as a broke news anchor, because you don't get paid much at all in journalism. I'm sitting there, I'm like, if I launch a product that works, what if I put real women, every age and shape and size and gender identity, everything? What if I, you know, and I call them beautiful and authentically mean it? And that's who I use as models. And I had this whole big dream. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there knowing nothing about the beauty industry, having no connections, but just had this gut feeling. And when I look back on my journey now, and you know that was 10 years ago, when I look back at my journey over everything that's happened, I have done so many things wrong, but I think one of the biggest defining moments, and I share all the mistakes in the book too, but one of the biggest defining moments of one of the things I did right was when I would get a strong gut feeling, like I decided to trust myself and it changed everything. Doesn't mean it was easy.
Yeah.
It was a hard journey after that. But it was a moment too, Jay, where because I really thought I was in my dream job, but I also had this big moment come over me where I realized like, oh, the victory isn't in just not quitting, right? We're always told like, don't quit, don't give up. I feel like the victory is in us knowing when to let go of a dream, right? I think that's as important as knowing when to go after one. And it was this moment where even though I thought I was where I was supposed to be, I all of a sudden felt like I wasn't. and I was supposed to take this next leap, and I decided to trust it and become an entrepreneur. And that was crazy.
I love that story. Thank you for sharing that, because I think when you think about that, like being on broadcast television, talking to so many people, and then to have someone whisper in your ear, there's something in your face. I mean, like that is, you know, that's scary. Like that's really scary. Tell me about how you even got there, because I feel like there's even a layer before that when you had the confidence to be on TV and that was a dream that you had watching Oprah. Tell us about the period even before that. Maybe it was in your teenage years as a young girl. What were the doubts and the underestimations you had in even to get to that stage of being on TV?
Yeah, I think that, you know, being a person who is kind, and I think maybe you can relate to this. I think whenever you're kind, people underestimate you just right off the bat. And so that's been something that, you know, is important to know, I think, your whole life. But, you know, I was always underestimated for that, but I also always had this kind of internal knowing. I'm actually curious if you've had this, but you can tell I want to interview other people. That's like my whole thing.
That's not happening today. I'm not letting you.
Okay. One question, because maybe your listeners can relate to this, or maybe even remember this moment, but I was 9 years old when this happened. And I remember watching Oprah on television, and Barbara Walters said to her, asked her a question in an interview. And Oprah said, "I always knew I was destined for greatness," her whole life. So she always knew this. And I remember at the time, this made the press everywhere, and people started kind of like hating on her for saying this. And I think people weren't used to, in particular, a woman being so bold to say something like that. But I remember being a 9-year-old little girl. And even though, you know, and I think we all deal with underestimation, I also remember having this feeling when Oprah said that, when Oprah said, "I've always known I was destined for greatness." I remember sitting there as a little girl going, "Me too, me too." And I would literally see what's possible through her sharing her own story and her sharing her own vulnerabilities. Mm. And that's a big reason I wrote this book too. But I'll try to make this my only question for you. Like, because look at everything you are doing, look at how you are helping to heal humanity through love, and look at the millions of people you're impacting. Like, have you always had that feeling as well?
Yeah, it's a really good question actually. And this is why you were a great interviewer. I don't think I've ever been asked that question before. So when you were watching Oprah, and I grew up watching Oprah too, but I think the first person that had a big impact on me through their media was Eminem. So I grew up as a teenager listening to Eminem, and I would not just listen to his music. I would watch his interviews. I would watch his early videos. And I think I learned so much about resilience and opportunity from his story. And, you know, he had so many famous songs, which would have so many lines about, like, you know, taking your shot, taking your opportunity. And so I don't think I ever believed any of what I am able and blessed to do today was possible. I don't think I did, because I didn't know anyone who'd done it. I wasn't exposed to the media industry. I wasn't around people like that. But I always knew that I had to try. And so I was very much convinced that I could try, and that I had to put myself out there, and I had to take opportunities, and I had to give things a go. But I never was aware of the result. I never really believed that the result was mine. I just knew that if I listened to what Eminem said, that it might happen, because he had this belief set. And so when you ask me that question, I know exactly what you mean. And it's lovely hearing you say that. I think we should celebrate that, because we would all want our children to say, "Oh, mom, dad, I want to go and help people. I want to go and serve people." Like, you're not celebrating, you know, even your work. Like, it's not just celebrating the success of a makeup company. It's like you're celebrating the success of you wanting to help people with a real challenge, with real confidence. There's so much depth to that. So your first chapter is called "When Your Intuition Talks to You, Believe It." How do you know you're hearing your intuition? Because I feel that for so many people today, it's got so quiet, and you're mainly hearing just noise and your parents and your family. Like, how do you know when you know it's like, "Oh, that's my intuition"? How do you know?
I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Whenever I travel, I feel like I become a new person. Like that time I explored the bustling streets of New York, I felt like I became Curious Jay, immersing myself in the vibrant culture and sampling exotic street food. And then there was that trip to the mountains where I transformed into Adventurous Jay, conquering hiking trails and embracing the breathtaking scenery. And let me tell you, Booking.com has been my go-to for all my adventures. Whether I'm exploring the bustling streets of New York or venturing into the serene mountains, Booking.com has a wide variety of options, offering accommodations all across the US and all around the world that suit every kind of traveler. So when you're ready to plan your next trip and discover new sides of yourself, remember to book with Booking.com. Whether you're craving adventure in a cabin, a bit of luxury in a fancy hotel, some quality family time in a vacation rental, or just some chill vibes at a beachside resort, Booking.com has you covered. Ready to book your next adventure? Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com, booking.yeah. Have you had a moment where you realized you shouldn't have listened to your guts? I remember a lot of times when I was driving and trusted my gut and decided to take a shortcut only to get stuck in traffic or lost in an unfamiliar area. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. They created Symbiotic Plus, a 3-in-1 supplement including clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support the relief of mild and occasional bloating, gas, and diarrhea. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on your stomach, so whether I'm taking it first thing in the morning to kickstart my day or winding down at night, I know that I'm giving my gut the support it needs to thrive. There's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide, your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Shetty. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Shetty for 25% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/onpurpose to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/onpurpose. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yeah, I'll ask you later if you bleached your hair like Eminem and if you were Slim Shady and went through that whole phase. We'll have a combo offline. But I love that, like, you know, he was someone in your life that you like turned the volume up on and were inspired by it. I think that's huge. So yeah, you know, intuition, when your intuition talks, you believe it. Like I have learned, Jay, like time and time again. And I believe, by the way, every one of us has an intuition and a knowing. And I believe that our knowing is always right. And I think that to your point, I think all of the noise of everything around us, of self-doubt, of our inner critic, of, you know, our friends and family who love us, but like don't get our dreams or our hopes because they're seeing it through the lens of their own fear or their own experiences. And all of that can become so loud that it's like this huge barrier almost of self-doubt. It reminds me of like when you're on a flight and you see all these clouds below you, it's like we're walking through life with all these clouds of self-doubt. And sometimes it's so hard to like penetrate through them and hear our own gut and our own internal knowing. And I think a lot of people have lost touch with it and haven't heard it for a long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I think it's a lifelong journey, and I think it takes a lot of practice. And I also think it takes a lot of grace that we give ourselves, right? Because a lot of times we'll think, oh, I trusted my gut, but it was wrong. And all these things, like, what do I do? And I think that it takes literally a lot of practice, and it takes building that muscle and getting still and learning to hear your own truth. And I'm sure that, you know, through all of your teachings of meditation, you probably hear from people all the time, like, oh, Jay, I try to meditate, but all I do is go through my to-do list in my own head, or all those things, right? It takes time, and you have to give yourself grace in it. And, you know, an example of how I started building this intuition muscle also is looking back at experiences, right? Like, everyone listening right now can probably think of a time that they trusted their gut, they trusted themselves, and it was right. Or they can probably think of a time when, oh, I had this gut feeling that this person I was dating was super sketchy, but like, I didn't listen to that gut feeling. And I was like, I should have, right? We all kind of can look back and build this muscle. And a big powerful story that happened to me that I think is a universal story, because so many of us go through different variations of someone else telling us we're not enough, or someone else telling us we're not the right fit, or someone else telling us we're not qualified, right? And sometimes it's ourselves telling ourselves that too. But, you know, there is a moment where, you know, after I decided to take this big leap as an entrepreneur and quit my job and you know, wrote the business plan on my honeymoon flight to South Africa with my husband, got back and went all in. And I just thought, Jay, I thought, oh, if I can just create a product and it's amazing and it works, like, it's just going to sell. Thank goodness I didn't know how hard it was going to be an entrepreneur, or I may have second-guessed myself. But, you know, we poured every penny we had into creating a product and hiring an advisory board. And then what I wasn't anticipating was, from the moment we launched the brand and from the moment we had a product that I was like, oh, this is life-changing and it works, it would be 3 years before we could afford to pay ourselves. And all of the beauty retailers that I had put on pedestals that I love, like, I would save my tip money as a Denny's waitress to buy a MAC lipstick or a Lancome eyeliner, go into all the big department stores all over the world. You know, like, I loved it. And so I had always held these amazing retailers on this pedestal. And now I'm sitting there with my own company thinking like, oh, the product works, they're going to love it. And every time I would send my product to all the department stores, the beauty retailers, QVC, everywhere, they all said no, unanimously. No, you're not the right fit. Your packaging's not nice enough. And this went on and on and on. And about 2 years into it, and we were staying alive, by the way, selling about 2 to 3 orders a day on our website. And that was it. And about a little over two years into the company, I got a phone call from a potential investor. And I was like, and I was so excited because I thought, oh my gosh. And this was a big private equity company that has invested in a bunch of the consumer product companies that we all buy in grocery stores. And they've invested often in pre-revenue and made them big household names. And I thought, oh gosh, if they invest in it cosmetics, like, A, I'm not going to go bankrupt. And B, they're going to help, like, maybe they'll use their leverage to get me into these stores that keep telling me no. So Jay, I was so excited. I thought this is going to be life-changing. And we started doing meetings with them and then entered the diligence phase, and they loved our product. And diligence phase, meaning like we showed them product pipeline and future projections and all the stuff. And it got down to the final meeting, and my husband and I flew up for the meeting. And I'll never forget this moment because it's literally a moment that's etched so deeply when I think about how have I built my muscle of intuition. But we were there for the final meeting, and I just thought it was going to be life-changing. And I was standing there about 3 feet from the head guy, and he was super nice. And he was like, listen, we love your product. We want to wish you the best of luck, but it's a no. We're going to pass on investing in IT Cosmetics. And I was like, okay. And I'm so used to hearing no at this point, right? And I'm like, okay, can you tell me why? Because feedback's usually a gift. Can you tell me why? And he was about 3 feet from me face to face. And he says, do you want me to be honest with you? And I said, yes, please. And he says, I just don't think women will buy makeup from someone who looks like you with your body and your weight. And I remember in this moment,
Wow.
Two things happened. So I remember physically feeling this, like, feeling through my body of like a lifetime of body doubt, just like flooding my body. And I remember looking at him. I literally felt no anger at all. I mean, it was obviously super hurt. I was watching the words come out of his mouth, and literally I had this feeling, like this deep feeling that he's wrong. And I remember this feeling like it was yesterday. It was like literally in the pit of my stomach. Like it was like this knowing he's wrong. But I also knew I had no proof he's wrong. His words hurt. I went out to the car and cried my eyes out. And I had to do a lot of work to like turn down the volume on those words, not repeat them over and over for years. But I just felt like he was wrong. And the other thing I felt, Jay, was, it's weird. I mean, the one thing too, that, you know, when I look at the things I've done right to how to build this billion-dollar company, I never took the rejection personally, even when it hurt. And there was hundreds of rejections. But like in the case of this guy, when he said those words, I realized after I had a moment, you know, to process them, he was just as much impacted by a lifetime of the beauty industry as I was. And to the point where he thought, oh, if you don't look a certain way, I can't make money off you. So his words, in a way, were just confirmation of why I needed to keep going, because things needed to change. And I share so much more about this, but six years later, when L'Oreal acquired the company that I started, My Living Room, they acquired it for $1.2 billion cash, and it was all over they released this right in a press release, which I didn't know they were going to do until the day before. And that day it was all over it was the homepage of the Wall Street Journal, everywhere. And I got an email from that investor, and I hadn't heard from him, Jay, in 6 years. And I got an email from him, and he said, congratulations on the L'Oreal deal. I'm so happy for you. I was wrong. And I learned it would have been the most successful investment in his firm's history. And the other thing that I just want to share, because I think this is powerful, because I think so many people, especially listening to us, watching us right now, are coming out of a really hard year, and the year of things not making sense, and the year, and sometimes, you know, people are just in a season or a moment of rejection or setback. There's a really famous quote that says, rejection is God's protection. And I think this applies to every faith. A lot of people will replace it and say rejection is the universe's protection. And it's wild, because when I look back at so many rejections that I've gone through, and I just feel like someone might need to hear that today, right? Because it's like I look back, and even when they didn't make sense at the time, and even when I thought there's no way this is meant to be, or, you know, all those things, like this just hurts, or it feels unfair, or personal, or I look back and it's like, wow, I'm so grateful for the hardship or the setback, because years later, sometimes it takes years till we see like, oh, I'm in the place I'm supposed to be. I was, you know, the rejection's God's protection. But in this case, Jay, at the time that he said those words to me, I was so desperate. I didn't know how we were going to stay alive as a company. I would have probably given him the majority of the company for almost no money, right? And because he didn't believe in me, and because of that rejection, and then a lot of others as well on the way, and other people that did believe in us for sure. But because that guy didn't believe in me, by the time we did sell our business to L'Oreal, we were still the largest shareholders. So it's like, wow. Yeah. It's like, I always thank God, not just for the open doors, but for the closed doors.
Absolutely.
And just having that trust in it, right?
Absolutely. I loved every bit of what you just shared, because I think that's the reality of it. And, you know, obviously you've only told us about one of the bigger rejections, and the book goes into detail on all of the smaller rejections, the quick rejections. I mean, the idea of that you were patient, that you didn't pay yourself for 3 years, there's so much patience involved. There's so much resilience and adapting and going at it again. And you're getting so much negative feedback from even people of influence. And I think, you know, and I can relate to all of those in my own personal life and my journey. There's so many parallels that I'm like, oh, I remember exactly the executive that I had a similar run-in with. And so what I'm fascinated by, though, is how much have you found that building something successful, what percentage or what ratio is it mindset versus the actual skill of business and product that you're doing? Like, if you had to divide it, where would someone like you divide it? How much of this was you having to learn packaging, learn sales, learn spreadsheets, learn growth, versus how much of this was you being adaptable, being persistent, being resilient and relentless in that pursuit? Tell us a bit about that journey of both of those.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, if I had to answer that just right off the fly, I would say 80 or 90% mindset.
Wow.
I really believe, and now in this journey, you know, now having the blessing of meeting thousands of entrepreneurs and just seeing the ones that make it and the ones that don't, and the ones that build things, or even just human beings and the ones that go after their goals and things like that and step into all of who they are, versus kind of like stay in their comfort zone and talk themselves out of their own truth. I truly believe where you come from doesn't determine where you're going. I believe that we all tell ourselves these lies like, oh, you know, I don't have the right connections, or I don't come from the right family, or I am not qualified, I'm not smart, and all those things. I don't believe that. I think that people that change the world, right, are actually famous Steve Jobs commercial. And it's Jack, oh my gosh, Jack Kirsack, I'm trying to remember his last name, that said these words, but it's like, the people that are, in his words, the people that are crazy enough to believe they can change the world are the ones who do. It's not the people who are smart enough to change the world. It's not the people who are, right? And it's like, look at you having, and you're brilliant, but having a vision to take, to make wisdom go viral. It's like, you had the guts to go for it. You know what I mean? You had the guts to believe you can. And it's like, there's so many stories I share in this book where, oh my gosh, I was not by any stretch of the imagination the most qualified person in the room. And I was not the most experienced in all those things. But so many times I just made the decision to believe that I could. And sometimes that's what it comes down to. And I also feel like I've learned a lot of powerful lessons along the way as well, that have become freeing. And, you know, I heard you share a quote, you'll know where this is from. You shared where it's from too, but that you can't be anything you want, but you can be everything you are. Will you share that really fast again?
Yeah, no, that's it. I talk
so
about,
good.
Yeah, I talk about it in my book. I talk about how we've been told two lies since we were young. And the two lies are, the first one is, you can be anything you want. And I do think that's, there's a lie in that, because I think you have a unique journey and you're not meant to be anything. And the second lie that we've all been told is, you'll be nothing. You won't make it. You're insignificant. You're irrelevant. It won't work. And that's where I say that you can't be anything you want, but you can be everything you are, because what you are is, and that's your story, what you just said now, the idea that this person said to you, like, oh, people are not going to buy makeup from someone who looks like you. Like, that's one of the worst things I've ever heard anyone say. Like, that sounds terrible. But the idea is that you became who you were meant to be. And I think that stops you from the idea of envy and comparison.
Yes.
and all of that.
Yes.
But okay, go on.
And that's so huge. And just to add one thing to that, so I'm going to get so fired up right now, because I know someone needs to hear this right now who's going through this, because we're in this world of social media where we're like, oh, it's so tempting to compare ourselves or to get distracted or to feel less than or to see someone else's highlight reel and think we should change who we are. And there's two big things that happened, Jay, in this journey. And one of them was, after 3 years of hearing no, we finally got a yes to get one shot on QVC, right? One shot. And it came, and QVC is a live TV shopping channel. So in the US, they're broadcast to 100 million homes live, and there's no script. And every company, from Apple iPhone to Dyson Vacuum, Vitamix, they all sell their product there. And I had learned, oh, you can sell more product in an hour on QVC than in a whole year in department stores. So I'm like, oh my gosh. And my whole thing was like, well, if I get this shot, if I can ever get on QVC, like, let me, you know, let me take this huge risk of, instead of showing models a perfect skin, let me actually prove that I made a product that works for everyone. And like, I had this vision of what if I just take my makeup off and show my bright red rosacea? And what if I put women of all ages and sizes and shapes and skin tones and skin challenges, like, and as models, and show live how the product works? I had this whole vision. Yet for 3 years, they said no every time. And by the way, that's another example. My gut kept saying, you're supposed to be on QVC. And for 3 years, they said no. And I think when these things happen to us in our life, when we have a gut feeling, but then we're like, oh, it must have been wrong. If you still feel in your gut it's right, it's right. And you're supposed to keep going. Learning to look back on those moments, I think, is how we build our muscle. And, you know, we finally get this yes in this one shot on QVC. And it's a long story. I go into detail in the book on how it happened and what happened and all that. But, you know, just to share one tiny piece of it, we learned that in this one shot I was going to get in this 10-minute window on live TV, I would need to sell over 6,000 units of our concealer in this 10-minute window to hit the sales goal or not come back. And we were only doing 2 to 3 orders a day on our website. And so we didn't even have enough money to manufacture the product, get it in there. So we applied for 22 SBA loans. The 23rd bank, tiny bank in California, said yes, just to covering the money to get this one order off to QVC. And it was consignment. So what that meant was, in this 10-minute window, right, I get this one shot on national television after 3 years of no. And if we didn't hit the sales goal, whatever product didn't sell, they would ship back to us and we wouldn't be paid for it, right, as a consignment deal. And so you really shouldn't take this risk as an entrepreneur, but we were to the point where it was like, it was this
the only option.
I didn't, exactly. And so I thought, okay, do we have a 10-minute window? And I had this whole thought of what I was going to do. And we used some of the loan money to hire third-party consultants that help so many people sell their product on TV. And they really, truly do help so many people. And then I was faced with this dilemma, though, because what they all told me was, okay, Jamie, like, if you want a shot at succeeding, which most people fail on QVC after one chance, if you want a shot at succeeding, here's what you need to do. And they told me exactly what to do, which was to cast all models that were in their early 20s, you know, perfect skin. And I'm like, okay, but that's not why I made this business. And that's not why I made this product. And you can't fake authenticity. So if I go out there live on TV and I'm like, you know, it's not, it'll create a barrier disconnection with me and the customer. So I knew all those things, Jay, yet I was like, oh my gosh, I get one shot. What do I do? And I couldn't try it both ways. And I flew out to QVC a week early before this one shot on air, and they're in Pennsylvania. So they're about 30 minutes west of Philly. And I sat in this rental car all alone in the QVC parking lot, which sounds creepy now because I've now been in the parking lot thousands of times. But this was before I ever got a first shot. And I sat there in the parking lot staring at the front door, no, like watching people in and out all day for a week straight. And I sat there in that car, like praying, crying, feeling like, you know, because I think all of us go through these moments where we believe in our values, but then they get challenged. And I just remember, honestly, at times being like, well, maybe if I try it their way and then I get success and then I build, maybe then I'll try it my way. That's authentic. Like, wow, I had all those thoughts,
yes. Go on.
Right? Yeah, yeah. And self-doubt, like enter my head, challenge my values. And I'll never forget, there was one moment in that car where I just imagined, like, okay, if I have one shot, what do I want to stand for at the end of the day? And I imagine like who that person was turning on their television. And I don't know why, but I kept imagining like a single mom folding laundry who had like forgotten, like was too busy to remember that she mattered and that she's beautiful. And I had this crystal clear moment of intuition where I just realized, like, I'd rather, if she's going to bless me with 2 seconds of her precious time, I'd rather have her look up on her television and see me showing women who look like her, calling them beautiful, meaning it. Like, I'd rather have her see that and be reminded of her own beauty and have her not buy anything. I'd rather that happen than me like sell a ton of product and stand for nothing. And so I knew what I had to do. And I knew for me, it was like, how do I try and stand for something for every little kid out there who's about to see these images and start doubting themselves, and every grown person who still does. And I just knew what I had to do. But honestly, it was really scary. And I remember walking into the studio for this one shot, this 10 minute window. And Jay, you'll totally understand the setup, but there is cameras everywhere, a big time clock on the floor at 10 minutes. It was set for 10 minutes. And I knew once the host came to my set, because everything's so quick in real time, like they'll go from Dyson vacuum to, you know what I mean? So once she came to my set and that clock started, we would be live to 100 million homes. I would get one shot. And I learned, which is really fun, I learned, oh, if you're not selling, hitting your goal a minute or two in, they'll actually cut your time. Like, wow. You can be at 8 minutes left and jump to 2 minutes left. And you know, oh, it's not going well. And if you try to sell, nothing sells. So I was freaking out. And, you know, you talk a lot about this and about vision and about mission, about purpose. And those words of wisdom that are so powerful that you share are what helped save me. Those ideas are what helped save me in this moment. And what I mean by that is in this like 10 minute segment, as we were about to go live, and I see the clock and it's like 9:59, 9:58, and I'm live. I would go into this space of, is my dress too tight? I felt the sweat dripping down, and I'm like, wait. In my head, okay, if I make this about me in this moment, I'm done. Like, I had to, in that moment with so much pressure, remember, why am I doing this? And like, oh, it's way bigger than me. It's literally not about me. And I remember the moment my barefaced bright red rosacea came up on national television, and I was literally shaking like a leaf, and from the pressure of just the moment. And I remember going over to all the models, all the real women, all ages and skin tones and sizes and skin challenges like I have. And I'll never forget, there's about a minute left, and the host, and I didn't know how it was going. I was freaking out. I knew that they hadn't cut my time yet. There was a minute left, and the host says, the tan shade's almost sold out. The deep shade is down to, and I'm like, and shade started selling out. And I just literally, and then I remember the 10 minute mark hit and the big sold out sign came up across the screen. And I started crying on national TV, and my husband comes running through the double doors of the studio, and I'm like, real women have spoken. And he's like, we're not going bankrupt. And you've met my husband, so you can probably imagine him doing that. So we're not going bankrupt. And that one airing, Jay, this was after 3 years of no, right? And that one airing, which was September of 2010, turned into 5 airings and 101 airings the next year. And then I did 250 live shows a year for 8 years. And we built the largest beauty brand in QVC's history. And it is right now, as you and I are talking, it is right now to this day. And the only reason I share that is because it was 3 years of no. And like, somebody in your audience needs to hear this today, that like, no one can tell you you're not the right fit. No one can. And if you listen to your gut and your knowing, it's not about selling a company for $1 billion. It's not about selling out on QVC. It's about, oh, like you said, like, am I stepping into all of who I am? And am I trusting that? And those are the moments that change our life.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Whenever I travel, I feel like I become a new person. Like that time I explored the bustling streets of New York, I felt like I became Curious Jay, immersing myself in the vibrant culture and sampling exotic street food. And then there was that trip to the mountains where I transformed into Adventurous Jay, conquering hiking trails and embracing the breathtaking scenery. And let me tell you, Booking.com has been my go-to for all my adventures. Whether I'm exploring the bustling streets of New York or venturing into the serene mountains, Booking.com has a wide variety of options, offering accommodations all across the US and all around the world that suit every kind of traveler. So when you're ready to plan your next trip and discover new sides of yourself, remember to book with Booking.com. Whether you're craving adventure in a cabin, a bit of luxury in a fancy hotel, some quality family time in a vacation rental, or just some chill vibes at a beachside resort, Booking.com has you covered. Ready to book your next adventure? Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com, booking.yeah. Have you had a moment where you realized you shouldn't have listened to your guts? I remember a lot of times when I was driving and trusted my gut and decided to take a shortcut only to get stuck in traffic or lost in an unfamiliar area. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. They created Synbiotic Plus, a 3-in-1 supplement including clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support the relief of mild and occasional bloating, gas, and diarrhea. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on your stomach. So whether I'm taking it first thing in the morning to kickstart my day or winding down at night, I know that I'm giving my gut the support it needs to thrive. There's no more shame in your gut game. Synbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide, your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Shetty. Start Ritual or add Synbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Shetty for 25% off. Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or take your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. After all, we all agree that food just tastes better when you're outside, right? Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
I was literally with you when you were sharing that. And that's what I love about the storytelling in your book as well. It's like, I'm with you and I can feel it with you. And when you're talking about like whether you're sweating or whether you look right, like I'm with you and I can, I feel it all. What I love about what you've just shared, it convinces me and gives me more confidence in faith in the idea that purpose is the only thing that can let someone win. Because what you were just sharing with us is you had to make it not about you. It was about the people who are struggling with this skin condition. It was about the people that are not being welcomed onto ads and not welcomed into magazines and not welcomed because of the judgment that society had at the time. Like, and you were doing it before. Like, I feel like a lot of these topics are being talked about today. This is what we're talking about is like 13 years ago, right? Like 13, 14 years ago.
And it was like a several year journey to try and shift this to happen in the beauty space. And the thing that's so special to share is we built to millions and millions of customers, over 1,000 employees, all of that. And like, I think it's like 95%, the last time I checked, of our customers have no skin issues.
Wow.
95%, right? It's people that feel less alone and more enough and more seen and are tired of seeing images that don't look like them and don't just want to find great beauty makeup products. Because actually, it's not even why I created the brand. And even though I love our products, it's like, it's not why I created the brand. I created it to try and shift culture, even for women to be more confident on the days they don't even want to wear makeup. You know what I'm saying? And to feel just as beautiful. So it was like this way bigger thing. And exactly what you said, I think is so true. And one of the stories I talk about in the book is this experience I had with Mean Girls and dealing with that. And I actually never was bullied as a kid. And the first time I ever was bullied was in my 30s in the QVC green room. And it was like shocking because it was adult women. And I've never shared, 95% of the book I've never shared before, but I share these stories because I just want everyone going through them to connect and to see like, here's one idea of how to get through it. And here's another perspective on it. And, in this story, I had friends I thought were my friends. And by the way, most of my close girlfriends have been my friends for like 20 years and they are amazing. And they all have different faiths. They don't vote the same. They don't love the same, all the things. And they are amazing. So I'm blessed to have really great friends. But one thing I learned is, when you start a new dream, not everyone's happy when you actually start to become successful. And I had this moment where I thought there's a couple, just a handful of women who I really thought were my friends. And when my brand started really taking off, they didn't like that. And I went through this season of bullying, which I go into in the book, and I would like leave a show after like selling all the sales pressure, and I'd leave a show and go sit in the car and cry for hours, and then come back in and have to do another show, and just trying to get through it and figuring it all out. And I had this big moment that was two big moments, actually, Jay, that happened in the QVC green room that were life-changing. And I've now seen to be universal across thousands of entrepreneurs I've met and all the women I mentor now. Two big things happened in this journey of Mean Girls. I realized, oh my gosh, so many of us think it's easy to think that someone else's success takes away from our own. And I don't believe that's true.
Nope.
And right, it's not true. And what I decided to do in this moment of getting bullying was not let it be a distraction, not actually even for a second think I'm competing with them. And I had this big aha moment where I realized, and I believe this to my core, none of us are here to compete with anyone else. I believe we're here to compete with the person we know we're born capable of becoming.
Yeah.
And that person has nothing to do with anyone else. Like, that's, to your point, our own unique purpose, our own unique calling. And that's what I focused on. And even to this day, Jay, I know I'm nowhere near that person yet who I'm capable of becoming, but I'm sure, you know, on my journey. But the thing that when I kept that as my focus, what ended up happening in these 8 years I spent in the green room, I saw thousands of entrepreneurs come and go. And when I look back at like, oh, what's the commonality with the ones that actually made it and the ones that built something that lasted or built something that matters? And to your question earlier, it's not how smart are they, how qualified are they, right? It's literally this simple. This is what I've seen in thousands of entrepreneurs. The ones that were the same on air live, selling to customers, which is a form of connection, right? But as they are in the green room, the people that had that alignment were the same for better or worse. Some are quirky and crazy and funny, and some are not very, but like the ones that were authentically themselves on camera, same as in the green room, those are the ones that last, right? And the whole idea, right? Because you know all of the research out there that you can't, like it's impossible to have a real human connection unless you fully show up authentically as yourself. And so many people think, oh, I'm distracted by social media. I need to show up like somebody else, or this is working for someone else on their page or with their community. So let me try to show up that way, because then I'll get more followers, or like, or let me show up this way in the dating world, whatever it is. We're literally putting a barrier up of disconnection when we show up as our representative. And I watched this happen thousands of times where someone would be super, you know, whatever in the green room, amazing, funny, happy, sad, introverted, whatever it is. And then they go on air and they're their representative and you can't fake authenticity. And it's the most freeing lesson in the world, because it's so much pressure when you think you have to change who you are or be more like someone else or hide the parts of you that you feel like are past mistakes or are embarrassing or anything else. And it's like, oh no, the power is in the freedom is in realizing, oh my gosh, when I fully show up as who I am for better or worse, that's your superpower. And that's when people actually authentically connect with you, whether it's customers or your community online. And I feel like when people get that, it's the most freeing thing in the world, because it doesn't matter what someone else is doing on social media or this or that. It's like all that matters is you like fully showing up as who you are. And it's really, and I talk a lot about this in the book, this idea that like authenticity alone doesn't guarantee success, but inauthenticity guarantees failure. And I've just seen it now thousands of times. And I just think it's one of the most freeing things to learn. And I think it helps us, to use the words you shared earlier, I think it helps us build our confidence around becoming all of who we are.
Yeah, but I love the way you define authenticity as alignment, like between the green room and being on stage, because I think authenticity today, there's a lot of misconception about it. Like, authenticity just means like being yourself and showing yourself. But what you're saying is actually like internally, your integrity is aligned. And what I love about the book, and this is what I recommend to everyone, when you grab a copy, you'll see this, is that Jamie walks through all the struggles we have. So you have chapters, which he just mentioned, believe in the power of authenticity. But then there's other beliefs that we all need, like believe in being brave over being liked. And I love the way the book structured on what we need to believe in versus what we need to stop believing. So Jamie, I want to ask you this question. And I think it's going to really help everyone who's listening and watching today, because when I'm speaking to you, I can feel your just belief in humanity and belief in people. Just like, it just, you know, bounces off you. Like it's coming through you. Like you really believe, not just in what you're saying, but you really believe in everyone who's listening. But they're beating themselves up right now. There's someone who's listening to this and they've just spent the whole day beating themselves up. They've spent the whole week beating themselves up. And I almost think like the opposite of belief is not doubt, it's beating yourself up, because doubt is questioning yourself, and that's a positive, healthy habit. But the negative, unhealthy habit is you're just beating yourself up. If someone's listening right now and they've been beating themselves up, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say you're not alone. I would say and I love that you're asking this question. It's so important, because I think when we do beat ourselves up, it's so easy to think that we're alone in that, you know, other people don't do that. It's just us, and we're wrong, and we're bad, and we're damaged, and all those things, right? And I think the first and most important thing is that I think this is a universal thing that every person, and I just think even the way our brains are wired, that we're tempted to do that. And I think that, you know, the words we say about ourselves to ourselves, right, are the most important and powerful words. So one of the things I really go into in my book, and I talk about this a lot, is this idea of almost an imaginary volume dial. And another thing I talk about, a good friend of mine, Bob Goff, taught me this lesson. And I said, oh my gosh, it was just in a small group conversation. I'm like, this has changed my life. And I'm like, Bob, can I share this with everyone? Because this is going to serve a lot of people. And I talk about this too, where he talks about the power of your own microphone, right? So here's the thing we all need to get really good at. And this takes practice and it takes time and it takes intentionality in terms of just being aware of it. But I imagine a volume dial, right? And we need to get really good at knowing when to turn the volume down on stuff and when to turn the volume up on stuff, right? And for example, with the guy that said to me, no one will buy makeup from someone who looks like you, or I could go into literally thousands of stories, Jay, about some of the rejections and some of the things that people said to me along the journey. And, you know, even to this day, I mean, every one of us hops on social media and it's so easy to see a great, you know, beautiful, positive message. And it's just as easy to find someone saying something hurtful, right? So this is something that's a universal experience. And whether it's someone saying this in social media or it's us saying it to ourselves, we have to get really good at, and the way I do this, I literally imagine this imaginary volume dial where I, and still to this day, you know, I still have thoughts of self-doubt that pop up about the most random things. And I'm now able to catch them. I literally imagine myself turning the volume down on them, and I instantly replace it with something positive that somebody said that I believe, I know it's true. We are not built to remind ourselves of all the positive things about ourselves, right? We have to do it intentionally. And I share a story in the book of, well, first I want to say too, about the microphone thing. A lot of us have friends and family around us that mean well, and that we want to keep in our life because they've been in our life forever and all the things. But when we share our hopes or our dreams with them, or when we share our struggles with them, they say things often with a great intention that just aren't for us, that just lower our vibration, right? And one of the things I talk about that my friend Bob Goff shared, and I talk about this a lot in the book, is learning who to hand your own microphone to in life to speak into, and when you need to take that microphone back. And a lot of people struggle because maybe they watch a show and they have big, you know, vision for the kind of life or the kind of health or the kind of love that they want in their life. But then they're sharing that and those thoughts and those ideas with people in their circle or in their family or in their home. And then instantly they feel their vibration get lower. Instantly they go back to that place of self-doubt. And so one big thing, and I talk about this a lot in Believe It, is, you know, holding your own microphone. I imagine for anyone listening and not watching this, imagine a news reporter who's holding a microphone and they hand it over to somebody to speak into, right? And give their story. And then they're able to take their microphone back. If you watch really seasoned TV news journalists, they never let go of their microphone because they know if you give it to someone who's giving you a firsthand account of a something or other, that person will take that microphone and you have a hard time getting it back on live TV.
That's such a good analogy.
But imagine in real life, every second, Jay, we're giving our microphone to someone else when we're letting them speak into our life, right? And sometimes it's like a friend at the gym and sometimes it's a family member. But we have to get really good at going, oh, when I'm struggling and when I, you know, need someone to talk to and I talk to this person, is this filling my soul? Is it helping me? If it's not, you have to take your microphone back from that person. You can still keep them in your life, but maybe you talk to them about like what happened on The Bachelor last night or whatever, but you don't talk to them about your struggles. And similarly, you know, so many people I know watch your show and are inspired for their own purpose and their own sense of health and their own sense of peace. And, you know, if you share these ideas, maybe with a partner, maybe it's your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend or significant other, whatever, they may not be on that same path of enlightenment and personal growth. And you might be so frustrated that you keep sharing it with them. And then you're just like, oh, so listen, like, and then all you're doing is literally stealing your own joy and lowering your own vibration when you keep trying to do that. And so I've learned this lesson, and I think it's so powerful of taking your microphone back. And similarly, you know, why you and I talked, I think for 14 hours, the first trip we were on and Roddy and all the amazing people on that trip is like, oh, you can feel when you're speaking into each other's microphone and your vibration's going higher and people get it and they're dreaming. And it's not that people tell you what they want to hear. They'll still call you out on your crap, but like everyone has this vibration, right? And I think knowing, and by the way, your show can be something that someone puts their microphone up to, right? It doesn't always have to be a person physically in their life.
Your book is a perfect, yes. Like that's a perfect example. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And so that is huge. And what I would say for people, you know, really just struggling with that inner critic is that I think it is a practice of identifying it. And for me, of course, I am the biggest proponent of therapy and I'm the biggest proponent of personal growth and all of those things. And in my book, I share a lot of the tools that worked for me because I think that, you know, so many of us are in that spot and that self-doubt takes over. We start to, you know, hold on to past labels people put on us, words they said about us, past mistakes, past miscalculations or regrettable incidents or things we did wrong. But like, I believe in life, like we're not our past mistakes or any of those things. I believe we're our intentions going forward. And I think that, you know, implementing some of these tools from the book and into your real life is really big because for me, I battled self-doubt my whole life. And, you know, there are so many stories. The investor in the weight one is just one of many. There are so many that I share and talk about how did I get through. And, you know, I would create this imaginary toolbox that I would just go back from and pull from. And one thing in my imaginary toolbox is just every time I catch myself putting myself down, telling myself things like you're not qualified, you're this, that, I pull from another moment and I replace that in my own mind. And I try to turn the volume up on that, right? And sometimes it could be, you know, something kind that somebody said in the line at Starbucks. Like sometimes it could be someone saying, oh, you just brightened my day. And I'll remind myself, oh, and I turn the volume up on that. There's a moment I share the first time when I met Michelle Obama and something she shared to me in the book. And she just said the most beautiful words. And I won't give up the story, but those words, I replay them in my mind, right? So when I have moments like I'm tempted to replay my own self-doubt, I literally turn it down and I replace it. And I think that's a big thing. And I think it's important to know we're not alone and it's all a journey. You know, the way we started this conversation, I think is so relevant to this question, which is all of us have these experiences of self-doubt. And then we all of a sudden have the noise of other people's opinions or if you're launching a business or building a community online, like what I went through was years of no proof that my idea was going to work. So when we have no proof around us that what we're doing might be successful, and we have, you know, friends and family worried about us saying, are you sure you should have quit your job? Or are you sure you're qualified? All those things, right? And then we have rejection, then we have our own self-doubt. It can be so loud that we literally end up like staying in our comfort zone, talking ourselves out of our own truth, right? Staying in our comfort zones, never starting the dream, never, you know, writing the book, never creating the blog and the podcast, or right? All those things. We stay in our comfort zone, which makes a lot of other people more comfy too, but then it chips away at our own soul. And I think it robs us from becoming the person we're born to be. So it's a journey, I think, of intentionality. And we're all in this together, right? And what a beautiful thing that anybody going through this right now is able to hear your show and is able to hear you and me and connect with us. Because I believe we're all connected.
Absolutely.
And I believe we all have the same hopes and doubts and fears and dreams and all that.
I love that. Everyone, that is Jamie Kern Lima. Believe It is the name of the book, How to Go From Underestimated to Unstoppable. I want everyone to go and grab a copy of the book. You heard like a smidge of the stories. There are incredible stories, tools, techniques, everything inside this book that's going to actually help you break through the biggest issue in your life, which is belief, self-belief. That's the biggest block. There is no bigger block. And all of it is laid out in this wonderful book that Jamie's put together. And Jamie, I'm going to end with you with what we do with every guest is our final five. So these answers have to be given in one word or one sentence maximum, as they're our final five. And so, Jamie, are you ready for your final five?
Let's go, Jay.
Okay, awesome. So the first question I have is, what is the best advice you've ever received?
God can dream a bigger dream for you than you can for yourself.
I love that. That's an awesome piece of advice. I fully agree. Okay, second question. What's the worst advice you've ever received?
You need to change this about yourself to fit in, and then you'll do great.
Brilliant. Great answer. Okay, third question. What's something that you know to be true, but people may disagree with you on? Something that you're confident about, but people may not quite get it.
These famous words. I'm so confident about them. And I remind myself about them every time I start to doubt myself. It's a famous saying. I think it applies no matter what faith you are. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
Oh, I love that.
Everyone agrees with it. I live by it.
That just gave me shivers. That's really powerful. I love that. That's beautiful. I love that. That is so beautiful. I love that. Thank you for sharing that with me. Okay, question number four. We got two left. Question number four. What's the biggest lesson you've learned in the last 12 months?
Champions aren't made when the game is easy. And this has been a tough year for so many people. I believe if anyone's listening to your show right now, I believe they're a champion. And I think we'll get through this. Uncertainty won't take us down.
I love that. Thank you for saying that. And fifth and final question, if you could create one law that everyone in the world had to follow, what would it be?
Be love.
I love that.
Live love, be love.
That's beautiful.
What we all are.
Everyone, Believe It is the name of the book, How to Go From Underestimated to Unstoppable. Jamie Kern Lima. Jamie, it has been just amazing talking to you. I felt every ounce of energy through the screen. I know that right now you've been busy with press and interviews. You've got so many amazing people supporting your book. I mean, you know, Jamie's got everyone from like Oprah and Robin Roberts and just incredible people that absolutely adore you and what you do. And I want to thank you for taking this time to be on Purpose, to stay up after everything, busy day, to do this interview with that much energy and that much conviction. I mean, I'm just totally grateful to call you a friend, and I'm grateful for how you show up every single day. And I'm grateful for just how you showed up today, despite the amount of things you have going on. So thank you so much, Jamie. And I can't wait for this book to be in people's hands. I'm so excited.
Jay, I'm excited, and thank you to you. And it is always the greatest joy when you meet someone in real life who's literally fully exactly as they are when you see them, you know, online. And that was you. And wow, what a gift. And so super grateful for your friendship too. And I hope our conversation blessed people, because again, we're all in this together. And so thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Everyone, please go and follow Jamie on Instagram. Tag us both with the biggest lessons and takeaways from this session. When you're reading her book, go and post that on Instagram as well. Tag her and tag me to let us know that you found out about the book here, so that we can see all the love and all the learnings that you're gaining. Go and find her across social media, Facebook, Instagram, all the other platforms, and go and follow and go and learn about how you too can start to believe in yourself, believe into your dream, and find that voice inside of you. So thank you again, Jamie, and thanks everyone for listening. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth: no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Herbs have been a huge part of my wellness journey, thanks to my Indian roots. My mom introduced them to me, and I saw firsthand how they worked wonders for both body and mind. And when it comes to keeping my digestion in check, slippery elm bark and ginger root are my go-tos. Our sponsor, Nature's Way, has over 50 years sourcing these herbs and many more that can promote digestive health. Visit naturesway.com/herbs and use code J10 at checkout for 10% off any herbal supplements through June 30. Terms apply.